Okay, so we're on Daf Kuf Lamed Tet tonight. So I'll begin on the second line on Kuf Lamed Tet, 139a, the second line. So it says, and again, we got into this sort of like a sidetrack, which is often in the Gemara. If you remember, the Gemara had quoted, had asked the Rabbi Bar Yechezkel, asked Rav Huna to hear some halachot that Rav had said, one halacha related to Olarai, then other halachot related to the Churban Beis Hamikdash, and so that's where we're going with this. Or it wasn't the Churban Beis Hamikdash. It says in the future the Torah will be forgotten, and then we said that the people won't even know the halachot. But that's the thrust. So the Gemara says on the second line in Kuf Lamed Tet Amud Aleph, Tanya Rabbi Yossi ben Elisha Omer, and Reiz the Dorsh Sarobot Ba'Odolav. If you see a generation, there are many calamities occurring to the generation. Israel, go examine the judges, the Jewish judges that they have there. He says, Shakul Purana Shabali Olam, Labai Labashil Dayanay Yisrael, that any punishment that comes to the world comes because the Dayanay Yisrael, it means in some way they're corrupted, they're not doing, you know, proper judgment. So he says, Shinemar, now he quotes a pasuk from Micha, it's a several pasukim, so Shimunazot, Rashay Beit Yaakov, Kisnei Beit Yisrael. Here, the heads of the house of Jacob, leaders of the house of Israel, Hamatavim Mishpat, those who pervert justice, V'yed Kol Yishra Ya'akeshu, everything that's straight, they twist up. He says, now, Bonet Sion B'damim, they build Zion with blood, doesn't sound good, V'Yerushalayim Ba'avla, and Jerusalem with iniquity. So we got the... we got the setup for the people we're describing. Then it says, Rasheha, Bishachar Yishpotu, Bishochad Yishpotu. Their heads, they judge with bribery. It means these are the judges. They're taking bribery, obviously no good. V'chawaneha b'mechir yoru. And their priests, their kohanim, they're bought off to make rulings based on money also. Unaviyah b'kesef yiksamu. And the prophets will offer, you know, sort of like whatever, what does he say, incantation? How does he translate yiksamu? One second. Let me just see week Samu. One second. Yeah, her prophet's divine for money. Divine for money. So everything is money. He says, "Biyal Hashem Yishainu v'Gomer." But they ostensibly rely on God, and they end up saying, "Like, isn't Hashem, you know, betochenu?" So the Gemara says, "Rishayim hein." They're really wicked people. Elash tzlu b'tchona b'mishamar v'yaholam. That they're ostensibly putting their faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam, but these people are a bunch of rishoyim. This is l'fichach mivikash baruch hu leinu shlosh puraniyot keneged shlosh averot shebiyadam. So Hashem is going to bring three punishments corresponding to the three averot. The three averot you had on around line 10 above. Remember we said it's the line that begins Rasheha. It says Rasheh b'shochad yishpotu, that the heads, they take bribery. And then Kohanel b'mechir yoru, the Kohanim make rulings based on money, and v'yeh b'kesef yiksamu, and the prophet's divine for money. Everybody's taking money and to give the right results. So he says, Shinemar, and now he goes on, this is a continuation of the Nebuah and Micha, says, Lachem b'glachem sion sadeh teicharesh, because of you, Zion will be plowed up, that's one. He says, v'yushalayim yintiyah, and Jerusalem will be like rubble, Baharabayit libamot yar, and Jerusalem will be like, I don't know, heights, heaps in the forest. So those are three things corresponding to the three averot. Hashem doesn't put his shechina among Klal Yisrael until the bad crop of judges are out the door. He says, Shinemar v'yashiva yadi alayach v'esrov kabur sigayach v'esiru kol b'di layach v'ashiva shoftayach v'rushna v'yosayach v'adkhila v'gomer. It says that I will set my hand against her. This is this week's Haftorah, actually. Tonight is Thursday night. This is the Haftorah we'll be saying, hearing in 36 hours. He says, I will set my hand against her. V'esrov kabur sigayach. I will, like, wash out with soap your dross. I'll remove all your impurities, and then I'll restore your judges or the type of judges you had originally. Then it says again, like the Gemara always, not always, but frequently quotes the beginning of the pasuk. You need the whole pasuk. Afterwards, you'll be called the city of righteousness, the loyal city. So the idea is that Hashem is only going to put his shechina when you get rid of the riffraff. So. Any questions about what we did so far? Very good. All right, let me move on. So Amar Ula, in Yerushalayim Nifta Ela B'Tzedakah, Yerushalayim is only going to be redeemed through Tzedakah. He says, Shenemar, Tzion B'Mishpat Tipadeh B'Shaveh B'Tzedakah. Zion will be redeemed through Mishpat, through justice, B'Shaveh B'Tzedakah. The ones, the returnees, through Tzedakah. The returnees are all of Klal Yisrael. So Tzedakah will help bring about the Shiva Tzion. He says, Amar Rapapa, Ibat Liyihiri, Ibat Liyam Gushi. Rapapa says, if the arrogant people, get rid of the arrogant people. Rashi says, the arrogant people, the way he describes them, whereas the Rashi, on the fourth white line above, he says, Yisrael mit yaharim bibalurit mabushay yihirut kiparashim alalu. They, I don't know, they have long hair, and they dress, I don't know, sort of like an arrogantly. Parashim is a horseman, so I don't know who he's got in mind, but maybe he, in his society, had seen certain people. So he says, so ibatli yahiri, batli amgushi. If the yahiri, get rid of the yahiri, and presumably it means Jews who are acting in that fashion. So batli amgushi, amgushi are the heretics. So it connects the one with the other. We'll see in a minute. Ibatli dayane, if you get rid of the bad dayanim, it doesn't mean all dayanim, you get rid of the bad dayanim, batli gazirpati. Gazirpati are these non-Jewish court officers, not working in the Jewish court system, that bring, you know, bad news to the Jewish people. So the Gemara says, "Ibatli yihiri, ibatli amgushi." If the arrogant people are get rid of, so we get rid of the amgushi, are like the heretics. He says, "Dechtiv." And again, here's a drasha. You have to, you know, with the drasha, you have to, you know, let your mind roam with the words. He says, "Ve'etzrof kibor sigayach." Like the pshuto shel mikra means, I will wash like with soap your dross. It's like you have, I don't know, silver or something like that. But the way he's understanding, sigaya can like sagi, like great, like is arrogant. So sigaya, he's connecting to the arrogant people. He says, and then it says, Vasira, and then the pasuk says, Vasira kol bedilayach. I'll remove all the people, bedilayach, like all your impurities. But he understands bedilayach, the people who are making a mechitz between you and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which are the heretics. Again, you have to like be loose with words. Okay, that's the way it's coming. He says, Ibadli dayani, ibadli gazirpati. If you get rid of the bad judges, so we get rid of the gazirpati, are these non-Jewish court agents that are giving a lot of service to the Jews. Dichtiv heisir Hashem mishpateich pina oiveich. Let me make sure I got the kudot right with that. Heisir Hashem. One minute. Yeah, Hesir Hashem Mishpatayach. Hesir Hashem Mishpatayach Pina Oivayach. That so the way he's understanding Mishpatayach is like your judgments, but he's saying Mishpatayach is the judge, the Shoftim. So Hesir Hashem Mishpatayach, like you get rid of the bad judges, Pina Oivayach, then your enemies, which are the Gzirpati, they're gone as well. All right. Amar Rabbi Maloi, Mishum Rablazar of Shimon, my dichtiv, Shavar Hashem Matei Rishayim, Shevet Moshlim, that God has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter or the rod of the rulers. Shavar Hashem Matei Rishayim, Elu Dayanim Shnasu Makel Chazaneihem. So he says the Rishayim, these are Dayanim that are like they enable these Shamashim in the Bezdin. Like they empower them, so not to do good things. If you look at Rashi, it's around the 10th narrow line, 15th narrow line from the top. Shna sub makel chazaneim l'shamashem shnotnim yad babylon l'chozek lomar lo yeshlu chovas mean at Ploni the Bezdin. In other words, like I don't know, they didn't want them to do their work. They want more money. It's like the tail running the whole situation. In other words, the court employees are setting the whole tone as to what should take place in the Bezdin. That's the idea. And so he says, one second. He says here in the article, he says, one minute. Yeah. They might threaten to ban them into their duties, crippling the court's effectiveness if certain demands aren't met. Anyway, so if the judges improperly accede to the demands, that's what the pasuk is. So Shavar Shemate Rishayim, then it says Shevet Moshlim, the rod of the rulers, Ilu Tamid Chachamim, Shemishbechot HaDayanim. It means like you have a Tamid Chacham that's in the family, the Dayan, he's also like an enabler. In other words, like the Dayan is not a proper Dayan, and the Tamid Chacham is in the family, but the Tamid Chacham is like covering up for him and helping support him. That's the basic idea. He says, and there, so he says, he says in the footnote 22, an ignoramus might be appointed as a judge on the recommendation of a Torah scholar who taught him, is that the right one? No, the wrong one. He's 21. He says the ruler, he's judges whose family members who are Torah scholars are the rods, but the Torah scholars see the appointments of the judiciary and later cover up their mistakes and defend their decisions. So they're mess ups and they're covering up for them. Okay, back in the Gemara, Marzutra Amar, Elo Tamid Chamim Shemlavdim Hilchot Sibur, the Dayanei Bor. Marzutra says it refers to Tamid Chamim. They teach like general laws to Dayanim who don't know anything, and then these Dayanim are going around judging cases. Amar Reb Lazar ben Malai Mishum Reish Lakish Ma'idativ Ki Kapechem De Goalu B'dam Be'etzbotechem Ba'avon Siftotechem Divru Sheker Shonchem Avla Tege. It says Kapechem De Goalu B'dam, that your palms were, let's see how he's got it here. One second. Yeah, he says your hands are sullied with blood. He says Be'etzbotechem Ba'avon, and your fingers with sin. He says, Siptotechem to Brusheker, your lips spoke, I guess, lies, he says. He says, Lashonchem avla tege, and your tongue mutters wickedness. So what does it mean? Ki kabechem negulubadam, that your hands were sullied with blood. Elu dayanim, those refer to the dayanim, not good dayanim. He says, Ve'etzbo otechem ba'avon, your fingers are filled with avon. Elu sofreya dayanim, means, so the dayanim, he says, Rashi says that they take bribery and they pervert justice and they extract money improperly. And the Sofrei Dayanim, they write shtarot falsely. In other words, everybody's paid off. Everything's doing everything corruptly. Siftotechem divru sheker, your lips spoke lies. Elu orche dayanim, those are the lawyers. He says, Rashi says, let's see the Rashi. Orche dayanim, malabdin balei dinim laton. They teach like the litigants like to lie. Like, in other words, that's the thrust of it. He says, Lashonchem avla tegem, your tongue, you know, speaks like iniquity. Elu bale dinim, those are the bale dinim. So, one second. Listen. Yeah, litigants. He says here that the litigants. 26. I thought we had this already, that we said that Orchei Dayanim, right. So in other words, so lawyers are teaching the litigants to lie, and the litigants are lying. That's the way it's going. Okay, let me just do a few more lines, then I'll pause. But I'm,
they have good teachers.
What? We'll say again?
You said the litigants are lying. They have good teachers.
But that's the idea. That's the idea. Okay, so now the Gemara says, "Ba'amar Rabbi Yulai Mishum Rabbi Yitzchak made the law." Yom Shapiro Shiosev. Now this is only connected because of the, with the name, right? We had this before, right? We mentioned Rabbi Yulai before, so now we're in the two unrelated teachings by Rabbi Yulai. "Ba'amar Rabbi Yulai Mishum Rabbi Yitzchak made the law." Yom Shapiro Shiosev Meichav Lo Tam Tam Yayin. From the time that Yosef separated from his brothers, when they sold him like down the creek, so to speak, so he didn't taste wine. So the Pshuto Shemekir, he says that it's like the brachot and Zosa bracha upon the head of the exile from his brothers, like he's going to have the bracha, but the way he's understanding it is, he's like Nazir Echav. Nazir is like a Nazir. Like, so the Nazir, he doesn't drink wine, and that's the remez that Yosef didn't have wine. That's what he's going to say. He says, Rabbi Yosef bar Chanin amar, afhein lo tamu tam yayin. So when he says, even the brothers didn't have wine, he says, dechtiv vayishtu vayishkuru imo. It says afterwards that they drank and they got intoxicated with Yosef, michlal dara inalo. So the implication being up, in other words, imo, the vayishtu vayishkuru imo, that up until then they hadn't done it. The other opinion holds, shichrod hu lo hava, shtia mi hava. In other words, yeah, they didn't get drunk before, but they did drink it. But Omer, Ba'amar, this is the last, the very narrow line, Michael, on Kuflam and Tedam and Aleph, 139a, the last very narrow line. Ba'amar Rabbi Loi, Bishar Varach, Hava Smach Libo, Zachalachosh, Mishpah Alibo. In the Zachus, it says that Aaron, you know, is going to see Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is appointed, he's the Navi, he's the top man for Klal Yisrael, and Hashem says, you know, your brother's there, and he's going to see you, and he'll be happy. So because Aaron was Samech Belibo, in other words, even though he's the oldest brother, and now Moshe is getting like the top position, but he's still happy for him. So he says, Zachal Choshen Mishpa Alibo, he was Zocha for the breastplate, the Kohen Gadol, he was Zocha that he is the Kohen Gadol would have this breastplate. So there's a piece that Rav Simon has in his Imre Baruch. He's like, what does one have to do with the other? So the idea is that like Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the top Navi. And I think he quoted this from the Drasha to the Ran. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the top Navi, right? Like Lokam Navi Yod B'Yisrael K'Moshe. There's no other prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu, and he speaks to Hashem Panim El Panim. But in some ways, but because Aaron, he wasn't jealous of Moshe Rabbeinu, he was happy for him. So Barachav Esmach Belibo, so he was Zochet to have the Choshen Mishpat. The Choshen Mishpat in some ways is superior to Nevuah, because something which is said through the Choshen Mishpat is never retracted. In other words, if something comes down from the Choshen, it's never retracted. Nevuah could be retracted; it can change, but the Choshen Mishpat, that's the way it goes down. It may have been another difference as well, but you get the idea. Anyway, so it's okay. So that's that piece. Okay. Any questions on anything we did so far?
So what would they say now about coronavirus? That's the matzav of the world. We need to check our Jewish Dayanim?
Well, he says here, yeah, Puran Ba'al Yolam. Yeah, so that would be one place to check. I don't know if it's the only place to check, but that does sound like one place
Trump
to check.
Trump doesn't mention that one.
I don't know what to say.
He's just a fool, man.
I don't know what to say. There would be one place to check. All right. Now, okay, so I'm going to move on, unless everybody's good. Okay, so now we're on the first medium-wide line downstairs. Okay, now we're back to our, Masechet Shabbat, which is, with the Ol Arai and things like that. So it says, Shakuli b'nei Bashkar the Levi, the people in Bashkar. Bashkar is a town. It comes up elsewhere in Shas, and they weren't such Talmidei Chachamim there. So they sent a message to Levi. So I don't know where Bashkar was, but Levi was in Eretz Yisrael. Levi was a colleague of Rebbe. So Shakuli b'nei Bashkar Levi, Kila Mahu. He says, what's the halakha with Kila, putting up a canopy on Shabbos? Kishuta b'karmama, what's halacha with planting hops in a vineyard? There's kilia karam, I can't have different plants in the karam, so can I plant the hops there? And the question is going to be, is it a vegetable or tree? Tree I can plant there, a vegetable I can't. He says, mate biyom tov mahu, if I have a dead body on yantiv, am I allowed to bury it? Those are the three questions they ask. So he says, Ada azil nach nafshe de Levi. So while the messenger is in transit until he gets to Eretz Yisrael or wherever he was coming from, Levi died. So Amar Shmuel Ramanashia, Shmuel said to Ramanashia, Ichakimad Shalachlahu. He says, if you're like smart, if you're like up on it, you should send them, you should respond to them. It's interesting because Shmuel's in Bavel, so I don't know where this place was, but he says, so Shalachlahu, so Ramanashia responded, Kila Chazanu called Tzide Kila Vloma Tzinula Tzad Heter. He said, we've thoroughly reviewed the aspect of the canopy and we can't find any heter. This is the answer to the B'nai Bashkar to put up a canopy on Shabbos because a canopy is an Ol Aroi. So the Gemara asked, Lishlak Lahu Kid Rami Bar Yecheskel. So if you remember yesterday's Gemara, we learned that Rami Bar Yecheskel said, if I had a crossbeam where the thing had been set up before Shabbos and I had a string that I could pull it out and it would be good because it's already sort of set up. I'm just extending that which was already set up. So why did he mention that to them? What do you say? I looked everywhere. There's no heter for it. So he says, Lafisha Einam B'nai Torah. They're not B'nai Torah. And he was afraid that if, you give them an inch, they'll take a photo of a type of thing. In other words, like he's afraid that they'll extend whatever, coolers he gives and go in places they shouldn't go. Shuta Bakarma Yerbuva. Then the next question, he's very short, succinct, and to the point. He says, what was the other line here? Let me see. Look how short these answers are. He says, Shalhu Kila Chazarnal Kosita Kila Blomatsin Lahazar Heather. This is Shuta Bakarma Yerbuva. Okay, so he says, hops in a karam is kilayim. In other words, it is kilayim. So the Gemara asks, Flishlach Luhuk to Rabbi Tarfon. Why is he selling that? That's too tough. Why doesn't he send them like an answer like Rabbi Tarfon said? The Tani would learn the Brisa, Kishut with the hops. Rabbi Tarfon Omer in Kilayim Bekerim. Rabbi Tarfon says it's not Kilayim, but Chachamim Omerim Kilayim Bekerim. So it's Machloket Tanayim. So why is he, saying, and he's not done, but Kaimalan Kilomekil Ba'aretz, Halach Kmoto Bechutz La'aretz. So in Mesechet Bracha we learn there are certain mitzvahs, Tulis Ba'aretz, and Orla is one. And also Kiliyat Kerem is one. So Kiliyat Kerem is only a din deraisa in Eretz Israel. Outside of Eretz Israel, it's a din derabanan. So the halachs of the Gemara learns that kula mekil ba'aretz, if you're mekil in Eretz Israel on a mitzvah that's tzvi ba'aretz, so halacha kamoto b'chutz la'aretz. So the halacha follows that opinion in chutz la'aretz to follow the lenient opinion. So why is he, so we're here, A, there is a lenient opinion, and B, so this sounds like B'nai Bashkar and Chutz La'aretz. Not the way, right. They were sending to Levi, right. So Bashkar, I'm going to assume, was in Babel, because I see Shmuel had give and take with them. So I assume that Bashkar is in Babel and Levi is in Eretz Israel, and they were sending it there. So he says, there's another opinion more lenient, and they're in Chutz La'aretz. So why are you telling him so harshly? So he says, Lefishin and B'nai Torah. Again, they're not B'nai Torah. We're afraid if I give him a kula, they'll go overboard with it. So I want to keep things, you know, through the tight and narrow. Okay, Machriz Rav. Now, the Gemara now sort of takes an aside to tell us about the dinim with the hops, what's going on with this. So Machriz Rav, Rav is in Babel, Haiman Dabai Lemizra Kshuta Bakarma Lizra. He says, if anybody wants to plant hops in his vineyard, he could. That goes well with what we said, that like Rabbi Tarfon. Rav Amram Chasida Man Gidilavei. Rav Amram Chasida would give Malkot for somebody who would do that. So he was very tough on it. So I think they said here, let me just see where he has it here somewhere. One second. Yeah. Yeah, right. So Tosfos, if you look at Tosfos, Rav Amram Chasida Man Gidilavei. He once said they had a similar situation. The people weren't B'nai Torah. They didn't want to give a kula to them because they would like go with it in places that they shouldn't go. Okay, back in the Gemara. We're four lines from the bottom. Rav Masharsha Yayiv Le Pruta Latino Knachri Vizarale. Rav Masharsha, he would give like a prutas, you know, like a small coin to a non-Jewish child, and he would ask the non-Jewish child. So in other words, he really held it was permissible. But even with that, he wanted to make Har Chakot. He says, V'litin Le Latino Kisrael, why not give it to a Jewish child? As long as we give it to a child to do it, let's give it to a Jewish child, help the Jewish child. Ati the Mishrach. So Gemara says there's a concern that Jewish child, even when he gets older, he would come to continue doing that. And he felt that he wanted this harchaka, like, you know, to keep it a little bit away. He says, why didn't he give it to an adult Gentile? He says, Ati li chalufe be Israel. Because people seeing it might then think they see an adult planting hops that I can ask the Jewish to plant hops. So I don't want to ask so I'm going to keep it to somebody that's below, like a child. So nobody's going to do adults with that. And I'm going to keep a non-Jewish child. Okay. Now let's go to mate. Mate, shalach lehu, mate lo yitasku be, lo yehudoyim, lo aramayim, lo biyom tov rishon, lo yom tov sheni. So again, these are the answers that, Rav Menashia is giving. So Menashe says if you have a dead body, so again, this question is, can they bury it? So he says the Jews nor the non-Jews shouldn't bury it on the first day Yantav or the second day Yantav. In other words, zero. You can't do anything with it. So Ini, is this true? Bahamar Rabbi Yehuda Bar Shila, Amar Rabbi Yasi, Uvdahab B'nei Kenisha de Ma'on. There was an incident in the shul in Ma'on, B'yom Tov HaSemuch LaShabbat. And we've had in the Gemara incidents with Ma'on on Yantav that was near Shabbos. Now Rashi says it's not clear. And the Gemara is going to say, let's on top line on my base, below Yadana, im lefina, im la'achareha. So I don't know if it was the day before Yantav on a Friday or Yantav on a Sunday. The way Rashi takes it is the heter is going to be because ostensibly the body could start putrefying. In other words, if I have a dead body on Friday and I can't bury it, certainly on Shabbos, so it's already putrefying. Or it's on Sunday and then the other thing is that we're afraid that it will putrefy. In other words, the person died on Shabbos, and we're afraid that it's a masriach. That's the way Rashi takes this. I'll come back to it hopefully in a few minutes. He says, "Well, you don't even the penei milacharev, but atu lekami to Rabbi Yochanan. They came before Rabbi Yochanan, but Amar lahu. He told them, Yitasku be amamin. Let the goyim on the first day of Yantiv." And in Eretz Yisrael, there's usually one day Yantiv, though it could be even two there. He says, if they didn't get the news from the Kiddush Bez, then he says, let the Goyim bury him. Bama Rava, Rava says this is an important line to remember. If you had a highlight, it's a highlight. Bama Rava, maybe Yom Tov Rishon, Yitasku Bo Amamin. Somebody, you have a dead body on the first day of Yantiv, so Goyim can be involved burying it. B'yontov Sheni Tasku Bo Yisrael. On the second of Yontov, even Jews can bury it. V'afil B'yontov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah, even on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, that's a Chiddush, Masha Inkein Bebeitza. In other words, we said that Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaRichta. We view it halachically with one long day, because even in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, sometimes it was 2 days Rosh Hashanah when the Edom came after Mincha. So they had 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and they knew on the first day of Yontiv that they're going to have a second day. So, but notwithstanding that, we have a kula to bury on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. He says, Masha Ein Kei Bebeitza. With the egg, there we say, in the Beis HaShnoldah, on the first day of Yontiv is Asr, the second day. But this kula with the burial that we're going to extend on Rosh Hashanah. So anyway, the bottom line is, so they asked about the maid, and he says, the answer was, nobody can bury it. And here we see that Rabbi Yochanan says, you could bury it. So the Gemara says, Lefishinan B'nai Torah. Again, this each one the same situation. They're not B'nai Torah. We tell them, like, they can go bury it. You know, they'll end up driving there. You know, who knows what they'll do. And it won't be a good situation. You know, so Halach L'maisa, here in New York, you know, most kihilo don't bury on Yontiv. Some of the very from communities do have it. It's difficult because, like, I think there's a concern that if they would have a funeral on Yontiv, there'll be Chil Shabbos involved. You know, you're only allowed what you're allowed. You're not allowed, you know, more than what you're allowed. And, you know, everybody would drive and things like that. So generally, in our shul, we don't have any kvuras on Yontiv that I can recall. In certain communities, they do. And, does Breuers have? I think, does Breuers have?
They do. But yeah. Rabbi Rosner said that Rav Moshe was strongly against it and felt that because of refrigeration, there is no putrefaction. So in the 70s, he had a tshuva that was very, very strongly against this.
I think the Satmar do.
Yeah.
There are Hasidim who do.
I think that makes sense. That makes sense. One second, let me see here. He has here, yeah. So, yeah, the way Rashi understands the sugya, the kula, is because of a concern for putrefaction, like Michael was just mentioning it. He says, now in footnote 4 at the bottom, he says, many Rishonim, however, i.e. the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, favor the view of the Gonim, and maintain that according to Rav, a corpse may be buried through a non-Jew's first Yontif, even on a Yontif that falls midweek. In other words, it doesn't have to be in conjunction with Shabbos, with a delay, with putrefaction. We can go ahead and do it. And the halacha follows this view, he says. All right. Then, okay, I think we covered what we need to cover. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Are we good? All right. All right, let's see further.
So if it is so that the Satma do bury, what are the mechanics of that? Do people drive there?
Yeah, well, I think they have some non-Jews who drive, and then the immediate family gets in the car, and they're driven to the cemetery, and I think that's the way they do it. Okay,
just the immediate family.
I believe so. I believe so. All right. I'm not sure if they do it on the first day of Yontiv. They may do it on the second day of Yontiv. Have you heard anything about this, Michael? I think the second day, I don't know if they do it on the first day of Yontiv. I think on this, Michael, have you heard anything? Did he say anything about that?
He's second day. It's a
second
day.
Right. So on the second day of Yontiv, they would do it.
What about in Israel?
So you mean for Kura on Yontiv? I don't know.
In Israel, there's only one day Yontiv.
Yeah, but let's say somebody dies on Yontiv. Do they ever have a kavura that day? It's like, in other words,
I don't think so. Joyce's aunt died on the on Achron Shel Pesach. The kavura was not on Yontiv.
All right. You mean she died in Eretz Yisrael?
In Yerushalayim, yeah.
Yeah, you mean on Shvi Shel Pesach she died.
On Shvi Shel Pesach, yes.
Yeah. Achron Shel Pesach was usually, right?
Achron Shel Pesach. So Henry was observing Achron. He was walking, and people saying, why is he walking?
Achron Shel Pesach, the way I've heard it used, is usually like this, the eighth day of Pesach. All right. Yeah. Anyway, let's see further in the Gemara. All right. Now we're at the two dots. We're six lines from the top on Kuf Lamed Tet Amud Beis. Okay. Amar Bavin Bar Rav Huna, Amar Bacham Bar Guya, Mitas Vezan Bekila, V'U V'Kaskese, V'Yotzel Rishud HaRabim B'Shabbat V'Enu Choshesh. Now, here it's saying a person can take like a canopy wrap himself in the canopy, and the canopy has straps on it. So he's using the canopy just as a garment, but he's got the straps on it, like tzitzis, but it's those straps. So he says he doesn't have to be choshesh, that is considered hotza'a because of the straps that are hanging from the garment. So Gemara says, Ma'ishanam bid Rav Huna. Why is this case different than that which Rav Huna taught? The Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Hayotze b'talit she'ena mitzuyetzet kilchata b'shabbat, chayav chatat. So he says, let's say a person goes out with a garment, let's say it's got three tzitzis on it, and it's lacking the fourth tzitzis, so it's not, doesn't have proper tzitzis. So there, he says the person is chayav chatat. It means he violates Shabbos on a deraisa level through hotza'a, because the tzitzis, they're not part of the beged, and it was if it'd be a mitzvah, so then they're an integral part of the beged. If they're not part of the mitzvah, they're not an integral part of the beged. So he's doing hotza'a, even though it's attached to the beged. So how come that's hotza'a, and these straps that are connected to the canopy are not considered to be hotza'a? So the Gemara says, tzitzit l'gabei talit chashive v'lo batli. Tzitzis are more chashuv, and they have their own independent character. So Rashi said, well, one pshat that Rashi says is they have tchelet. Tchelet is very valuable. So I'm walking around with these objects, you know, let's say, you know, tchelet, you know, like you get, you know, with the tzitzis of tchelet, I think, was it like $70, I think, for four of them, whatever. And anyway, so it's a lot of money for tchelet. Even Mizman Chazal was a lot of money. Or in the alternative, he wants to say that, let's say if I have three tzitzis, so I it's chashuv to me because I want to have the fourth tzitzis. I don't want to get rid of them. In other words, those are chashuv items. So I'm chayev for hotzah with that. He says, hane lo chashiv yu batli. But these straps, they're like not valuable. They're insignificant. And they become batel, the gabi, the sadin. I'm not chayev for hotzah with that. Everybody good? All right. Now, let me see if he has a little something on this. One second. Do you have something on this? Right, this we got. Okay, I'll just say the Shulchan Aruch in codifying this halacha writes that one may go out on Shabbos wearing a coat that has a torn loop that was made for hanging the coat. Shulchan Aruch compares the torn loop to the functionless strings hanging from a cloak in that they are both insignificant. In other words, it's like, I assume like a fabric loop. He says, the Chayyadam citing the Rach, Rabbeinu Hananel, maintains that the coat may be worn only if there are no plans to repair the torn loop. If, however, one plans to eventually repair the loop is considered a burden, and the coat may not be worn on the street on Shabbos, just as invalid tzitzis on a talis are considered a burden. I remember when I was younger, I remember Vedidi Hava Uvda, I had a coat, it had a chain, and one end of the chain, and I remember asking my Rebbe in high school whether I could go out, when this was before they had an Erev in Great Neck, whether I could go out, and he said, ah, oh, no, he said, I couldn't walk out unless it was repaired. Okay, now let's see back in the Gemara. Let's take a look. Okay, now, so I'm near the Aleph in parentheses. Okay, everybody good? Kuf Lamed Tenu Beis.
Why couldn't you walk out unless it was repaired?
It's Hotzah. It's Hotzah. In other words, it's not Batel Agabi the Beged. In other words, when it's a loop, it's connected, it's serving a function on the Beged. So it's
a Kli.
It's part of the garment. It's part of the garment. Now, when it's not attached, and it was one end of the chain was loose, so now I have a davar chashuv that's like independent from the beged I'm walking around with, so I'm chayav for hotzah for that item. Okay.
Or is it like a masui and not a...
Right, 100% correct. That's 100%. It's not a tachshit, it's not a malbush, it's a masui. Okay, so now, I'm a rabba bar of Huna, Marima damal mishmeret biyom tov l'tlopa rimonim v'tulaba shmarim. So Rabbi Bar Rav Huna says a person can use subterfuge concerning a strainer on Yantiv. Now, we said, according to Chachamim, I'm not allowed to set up a strainer on Shabbos or Yantiv because it's making an ohel, but I could use a strainer on Yantiv. That's what we said. So he says a person use harama that I set it up and with intent to hold rimonim, to hold pomegranates there. Now, he says, v'tola bashmarim, and then I'll use it for the wine. Now, one difference that they said, it could be that I'll do it like not as tight. In other words, like for the ohel, I make like a tight for the wine. That's an ohel. Here, I'll use it for the, and it could be like a big, imagine like a big bucket, you know, surrounded with this garment or this cloth on top of it. So I'll have it loosely attached. But he says, if you remember, like the Gemara had said in one of the previous dafim, that it was Uvda Dechol. There were different ways to understand what the Uvda Dechol was in setting up the Mishameret. So one way, the way I said, which is the one somebody shown him, is that it had a vague resemblance to making an Ohel. So is that right? Am I saying right? I think that's the way I said it, right? So he says, let me just take a look. It was a couple of days ago. So, one second. Right. So here, you see, you'll do it a little bit looser for the pomegranates. Let's see back in the Gemara. So you said, what do you want to tell us? Let's load by Shmarim. So then I do a switcheroo. Then, so I ostensibly set it up for pomegranates, and then I use it to strain my wine. Amar Vashi, who the Talibah Rimonim. Vashi says, yeah, but before he can use it for the wine, he has to use it for Rimonim. In other words, he's setting it up for Rimonim, that's his harama, but he's got to use it for Rimonim. And then he has a clear, a green light to use it for the Shmarim, for the wine. So Maishanam Ehadatani, why is that case different? Now, in this case, he uses it for the Rimonim, so before he does anything, you know, with the straining with the wine, in other words, which was his, like, you know, his real intent. So he says here, Maishanam Ehadatania, Matilin Shechar b'moed l'sorach ha'moed. So a person can brew beer on chol ha'moed. On chol ha'moed, a person can brew beer if it's sorach ha'moed, if I need it for the moed. He says, shlo l'sorach ha'moed asur. But to brew beer, if it's not sorach ha'moed, I can't brew the beer on chol ha'moed. Echad shechar tamarim v'chad shechar sorim. Whether it's beer that's made from dates or it's beer that's made from barley. Afa pi sheish lam yashan. Even though a person's got, you know, 50 gallons of old beer, and he really wants to just produce new beer, ma'arim v'shotem min ha'chadash. He can use subterfuge, and then having produced it, he'll have from the chadash. So the point is that here, before I'm using this mishameret, this strainer from the wine, I put the rimonim in. So right away, it's clear. In other words, it's like clear that I'm using it for illicit purpose before I'm using it ostensibly for the illicit purpose, you know, the one that I didn't have the heter for. But with the beer, I at the time I brew it, I'm not doing anything different. How come I don't need a heker there? So the Gemara says, Hatam lumucha milta. When I'm brewing beer, it's not clear when I look at the person brewing beer, it's not clear I'm doing anything wrong. The person under the right circumstances is allowed to brew beer. Hacha mucha milta. When I put up a strainer, the presumption is the strainer is a strainer for wine. This thing with the pomegranates is very unusual. So if that's the harama, I have to like sort of fortify the harama by putting some pomegranates in there. Okay, Amrli Rabbanan the Ravashi, the Chami says Ravashi, Chazi Mar, Haisuri Rabbanan, Rav Huna Bar Rebbe Chiyun Shemei, Bamila Rav Huna Bar Rebbe Chalvan Shemei. He says, did you see this one of the Talmid HaChachamim? It's either this Rav Huna Bar Rebbe Chiyun or Rav Huna Bar Rebbe Chalvan. He's the Shakal Barad Detuma Umanach Babarza Dedana. He took, a clove of garlic, and he put it in the spigot of a barrel. Now, he's putting it in the spigot because he wants to stop up the barrel. Want to stop up the barrel. Now, stopping up the barrel is mentakin kli. It's the Rabbanan, in other words, stopping up the barrel. So instead, he says he's just putting it there for storage. Ba'amar lasnui kamachavina. I intend to put it for storage. That's one thing he did. And then he says, ba'azil v'nayim b'mivra. And then he took a nap in like a ferry boat. He says, va'avar lahachisa. And he went to the other side of the river, and you're not allowed to take a boat trip on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You can't even take the boat trip a few days before. If you see your payray, and then he was able to, you know, assess how his produce was doing. He says, Va'amar, analameim kamachavina. He says, I intended just to take a nap. Unfortunately, it worked out. I was in the boat, and I was able to take care of everything. So he says, Amar lahu, harama kamart. Oh, you're talking about harama. And harama is a general topic. It comes from other places in Shas. Harama b'drabanan. We're talking about harama on an Easter drabanan. These things are only a drabanan. He says, v'tsur b'mrabanan l'watim l'mbad l'chachila. Meaning, since he's a Talmid Chacham, we're not afraid that he will do it, you know, like get in the boat, you know, l'chachila and go. We're not afraid that he'll stick the garlic in the spigot to stop it up. In other words, we trust that he knows what he's doing, and for the harama, with where the underlying Easter would be drabanan, we rely on the Talmid Chacham has a green light to do it. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did? What's up?
So here we have the Harama, and with the Bashkarin, we had the Harchatot.
Right, right.
Just saying.
Well, it's different strokes for different folks, my dear.
Okay, let's see.
Okay, all right. Now, let's see further in the Gemara. Okay, all right. Manitin. One can pour water on like the leaves or sediments. In other words, you have the wine with the sediment. So I'm just pouring water on it, and then as a result of pouring water, the sediment is in the strainer. And this is on Shabbos. I'm doing this, and I could do it because I'm only pouring water. And then when it gets into leaves, it mixes in and the wine goes out with it. So that's not considered an act of breira. I just poured water on it. He says here, I can also filter wine with cloth. And kfifa mitzrit is like a reed basket. And mitzrit doesn't mean Egyptian here, the way Rashi learns on the second white line. It's made from the mitsure dekel, from the reeds of a date palm tree. And the idea here is that the wine is already filtered. So I'm doing a little more filtering, but that's permissible. He says, "Benonim beits of a mesanena shel chardal." Person can put an egg in a strainer for mustard. And the idea is I want the egg yolk to end up on the mustard to enhance its coloring. And the egg white will be separated from it. But the key is that they're both edible items, and we don't view it as being an act of breira. Va'osin inumlin b'shabbat. You'll have to make this inumlin. So the Gemara will discuss what inumlin is, but it's just apparently something takes a lot of work to prepare the inumlin. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, so Tanakama holds, I can prepare as much inumlin as whatever is necessary. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'shabbat b'kos. Rabbi Yehuda says, on Shabbos, I'm limited to one kos. B'yom tov b'lagin. On Yantiv, I'm limited to a log, is a larger measure. Uvamoed b'chavit. And on Yantiv, I'm limited to a chavit. Let me see what he says. One second. Let me go see one second. Yeah, that's cholamoid. Cholamoid, the barrel. Yeah, on cholamoid, he's limited to a chavit. All right. So he says, Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Hakolafi HaOrchim. Rabbi Tzadok says, everything depends on the amount of guests that a person has. So either Rabbi Tzadok is addressing Rabbi Yehuda, says, on Shabbos, I'm limited to a kos, in which case he's saying a kula, that not really, if you have 10 guests, so you make 10 kos out of that. Or he's addressing himself to the last halacha, b'moed u'chavit, then a kol moed, I can make even a big barrel. He says, it depends on how many orchim you have with that. All right. Now, any questions on the Mishnah? What's up, Olivia? What's up? You have to unmute yourself.
Didn't we meet this expression "akol fi orchim" in the number of chairs that we could bring out, that we could move in a storeroom.
That was a different halacha we had about mifanim, about how much you're about.
Yes, but this expression "akol fi orchim," we saw it before.
It could be. All right. Let's see back. Last narrow line. So the Gemara says, Amar Ziri. Ziri says, Nuntin adam yayin salul umayim salulim tocha mishamerit b'shabbat v'enu choshesh. A person can put clear wine and clear water in the mishamerit on Shabbos, and he doesn't have to worry about it. He says, Abal achurim lo. Now, the idea is, in other words, if I'm putting clear wine in it, it's not considered an act of breira. If I put water in, it's not considered an act of breira. He says, but if it's murky wine, I can't put that in because I'm going to be doing some breira. Meitvei, and this we ask a question from the following brisa. The brisa says, "Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Tereid Adam Chavit Shel Yayin, Yenu Shmareh." A person can stir a barrel of wine and its sediments. And pour it into the strainer on Shabbos, and he doesn't have to be worried about that. So that sounds like it should be a problem according to the Chachamim, right? Because, in other words, the Chachamim hold on Yontiv I could do the Mishamerit, but on Shabbos I can't use the Mishamerit. So he says here, So Ziri says it's talking about Bein Agitot. In other words, when the wine has just been like processed. And how does he translate Gitot? He says the wine presses. So they have a lot of the wine. All the wine is murky, And they drink the murky wine the way it is. So if in that circumstance I put it through this Misanenet, I'm not doing anything so significant because I would drink the murky wine as well. I don't know if they put it in the Misanenet, but that's not viewed as something significant. All right, now let's take a look. The fourth wide line, Misanenin Yayin Besudarim. We could filter wine with garments. So Amar Rav Simba Barchiya Vavad Shlo Yaseh Guma. I shouldn't make a guma. In other words, I'm doing the sudarim. I shouldn't have a guma. Guma is like a depression in it. So Rashi, one pshat that Rashi has, a little tricky because the Gemara doesn't say what the problem is. So one pshat that Rashi says, I may come to be sochet. In other words, normally things are held taut. So it's like, but when it's like there's a divot in it, so it gets more engorged, I think, with water. So I might come to be soaked. That's one shot that Rashi has. Uvekvifa mitzrit, I could put it in like this reed basket. So Amarav Chia Barashi Amarav, Uvad Shlo Yagbiyami Karka Ito Shel Kli Tefach, provided he doesn't lift it up more than a tefach from the bottom of the kli. Then here also, he wants to say it could be an ohel. In other words, if I'm putting this kvifa mitzrit like this, basket on top of like a barrel or whatever, and there's more than a tefach from the floor, so then it could be an ohel. Amarav, hai parunka, apalge de kubashari, akula kuba asur. So Rav says, when it comes to the parunka, he says a rag, which is used to cover a barrel, it's permitted to place it on half the barrel's opening, but not the entire barrel opening. Again, that would be a problem of ohel. Let's see back in the Gemara. Amar Papa, when a hadik inish tziniyata bepumi de kuzni de chavita shem de mechsi kimishameret. A person shouldn't. This is like this jug. They're using this jug to take wine from the big barrel. So he says you shouldn't pack straw and wood chips in the mouth of the barrel jug because it looks like you're creating like a strainer for the wine. The Bei Rav Papa Shafu Shichram Mimana Lamana. So in the house of Rav Papa, they would pour wine from one keli to another keli. So they're pouring. In other words, the sediment is going to remain in the barrel, and they're pouring off the top. That they would do. So Amar Rav Acha Midifta Ravina Ha'ikin Itzotzot. He says when you get to the bottom of the barrel, to use the phrase, so then you're going to have like these little, you will be doing like a type of brera because you'll have the dregs there and you'll be pouring off the liquid part. So he says, Lebei Rav Papa lo nitzotzot, Lebei Rav Papa lo chashivi. It was Rav Papa was himself a brewer and the little bit at the end wasn't chashiv to them. They didn't bother with it and so it's not a problem. Okay, now for the going for the kill. We said we can put the egg into the strainer. Tani Yaakov Korcha, the top line on Kuf Memun Aleph, Lefisha Eno Sinota El Legabein. He's only doing it because he wants the color. And the article says, among other things, like the fact that the white and the white stays behind and the yellow goes through it, but they're both edible, so it's not really an active brera. That's what he says. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did? Yeah, what's up? Malka, what do you got for me?
So if you can use a strainer to separate an egg, then going back to my question from 2 days ago, use the
counter? Yeah, I asked you. I have also the answer to your question okay. As well. Livia, you hear me? Yeah, so on Yontiv, you could use the colander. On Yontiv, you could use the colander with the noodles. And your case with the couscous and the meat, I think, is also permissible.
In Shabbat, though, not Yom Tov.
Right, on Shabbos, I think, is also permissible. Okay?
Okay,
all right, everybody good? Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Everybody happy?
It's a good day.
Yeah, okay. All right, I tell you.
Oh, you left us with a very long daf for tomorrow, I just
well, saw. Well, all right, that's the way it goes. I've done long dafim for you as well. All right, let me end the recording here. 1 second. Let me do the recording.